today on Annenberg Radio News.
You know, and at first it was scary. You know, at first I was, you know, I told myself a couple of times, is this really what I want to do?
Gangs in Los Angeles may be a problem that never goes away, but the city's working on some new ways to keep kids from joining. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, October 27, 2009. I'm Pete Griffin. We're still waiting for word on the police commission's three candidates for police chief. Today was Chief William Bratton's last day on the job. Deputy Chief Michael Downing has been named the interim director until the mayor picks a new chief. More on who's likely to get the job later in the show. The Los Angeles City Council has unanimously approved a multi-million-dollar proposal today to move its email and other internet services to Google. Albert Sabate reports.
The Los Angeles City Council decided today to use Google App Services. Google would provide email and other services through a cloud computing model, meaning data is stored on internet servers instead of individual computers. Both Google and the city could benefit. The city could save in IT costs, and Google would be set to gain more market share from competitor Microsoft. Cloud computing has privacy advocates and the Police Officers Union concerned over breaches and security. Albert Sabate, Annenberg Radio News.
The LA Unified School District is facing a budget deficit of more than $400 million. The district responded by laying off 2,000 teachers. Now, the LAUSD is pushing those teachers to the top of the list for substitute jobs. Today, substitute teachers are rallying in front of district headquarters to protest the move. Jessica Flores reports.
Los Angeles substitute teachers are up in arms today about a secret deal made between LAUSD and UTLA President A.J. Duffy. To show their discontent, they are actually laying down on the streets. The deal gave 1,800 pink slip teachers priority for subbing assignments over more senior substitute teachers. There are currently 4,000 substitute teachers in LAUSD. Six subs also spoke in front of the LAUSD this afternoon, asking them to strike down the deal. Dave Peters has been subbing for over 15 years, and he says he's seen an 84% drop in his assignments.
There's no logic in giving our jobs away with all our experience to first-year teachers.
And not getting the assignments affects more than wages. If the subs don't get at least one assignment a month or 100 assignments a year, they lose benefits. Early this month, the UTLA Governing Board voted to renegotiate the deal. Since then, Duffy said he will revisit the deal, but LAUSD Superintendent Ramon Cortinas has stood by the agreement. Cortinas has said the deal is a good idea because it will keep previously full-time teachers in the district. Longtime substitute teacher John Walsh says he's ready to take the matter to the courts.
We will file a lawsuit for damages. In other words, the millions of dollars we've lost in wages.
LAUSD will now need to decide if they support the sub's idea of renegotiating or will back Cortinas' stance to keep the deal. This is Jessica Flores, Annenberg Radio News.
California's unemployment rate is more than 12%. Today, a group of workers gathered to protest the layoffs that cost them their livelihood. Timothy Beckworth has a story.
Laid-off janitors and supporters from the Service Employees International Union marched in front of a Toyota dealership in Hollywood this afternoon. They're protesting the carmaker's decision to cut the janitorial staff by 40% at its national headquarters in Torrance. Mike Chavez is with the SEIU.
In this economy, is Toyota going to stand up and be a responsible partner in helping the California recovery? While we're buying tens of thousands of their cars, you know, what do they really care about California workers?
Dressed in purple and gold, about 100 workers marched up and down Hollywood Boulevard, blocking traffic while they chanted and banged on drums. But not everyone got the message. Al is a salesman at the Toyota dealership and was surprised to see the protesters.
I thought they were rooting for the Lakers or something, man. You know, purple and gold, man. I never knew this happened. They got laid off or something?
Toyota is also planning to shut down a plant in Fremont, which will result in thousands more lost jobs. Timothy Beckworth, Annenberg Radio News.
Day laborers in Los Angeles are often in danger of being taken advantage of by employers. City Council member Richard Alarcon is introducing a motion to help protect them. Ariel Edwards-Levy has the story.
It's the fundamental promise of the American dream,
Work hard, and you'll get ahead. But for Alfredo Bautista, it was a lie. Speaking through a translator, the day laborer says he still hasn't been paid for work completed 2 years ago, even after a lawsuit settlement awarded him money.
I feel really bad because I'm a worker first, and I'm a parent. I had to provide for my family. I had to pay rent every month. I had to pay my bills. And at this time, we are having nothing.
He is hardly alone. A study by the UCLA Labor Center shows that 68% of unskilled workers suffered some sort of pay violation in the past week. Some are paid below minimum wage or don't receive overtime. Some simply don't get paid. Some workers lose up to 15% of their annual pay. Day labor organizer Jose Veliz says that workers are chronically mistreated.
I'm tired of seeing humble people being robbed of their wages. I'm tired of people just hoping at the end of the day that they're going to get money in order to buy food. And at the end of the day, they don't get nothing. I'm tired and I'm angry.
Council member Richard Alarcón is introducing a motion to make wage theft illegal in Los Angeles. It would be the first such measure in the country. There are already measures to address wage theft, but Alarcón says people find them too complicated.
Right now, they don't know where to turn. I mean, most people don't even know where the labor commissioner is, but everybody knows where the police station is.
Alarcón's motion will now go to the city attorney and will then be brought before the city council. Arielle Edwards-Levy, Annenberg Radio News.
Los Angeles County is administering thousands of H1N1 vaccines today. Since Friday, the vaccine has been given to 50,000 people. Officials say vaccine recipients are being intensely screened to ensure priority groups get immunized first. People considered a priority are pregnant women, young people up to 24 years old, and people living with or caring for infants and healthcare workers. Healthy people not in these groups are being asked to wait for their vaccinations. And now for the weather. Tonight, expect a low of 54 degrees with slight wind. There is a wind advisory in effect through Wednesday morning, with the strongest winds at 70 miles per hour in some areas. Tomorrow, it will be nice and sunny, with a high of 70 degrees and a low of 49 degrees. Thursday will warm up with a high of 74 degrees and a low of 52 degrees in the evening. Later on Annenberg Radio News, we'll talk with journalist and blogger Celeste Freeman about the search for a new police chief. Although violent crime continues to dip, gang membership continues to rise. A discussion panel met in downtown today to address the importance of community organizations and police presence in ending the gang cycle. Dominic Riley reports.
Is very, very afraid inside.
Fabian Montez works at Homeboys Industries. He helps local kids develop professional skills so they can stay out of gangs. Montez spoke on a panel today at Town Hall Los Angeles about what steps the city should take to reduce gangs.
We all have to put our heads together and be creative and use our imagination to see how we could help these young men and women heal. It takes time. We want a quick fix.
Councilwoman Janice Hahn, who works with a gang alternative program in Watts, says the key to reducing violence starts right in schools.
It really is about finding a specific revenue stream to fund what I think is the way to keep kids from joining gangs in the first place, which is after-school programs, job training, mentoring, tutoring.
Hahn sponsored a ballot measure in last year's election that aimed to raise money for youth programs. Even though the measure didn't pass, she says that reducing gang-related violence would not only save lives, but save taxpayer money.
But here's a number. For every murder, that every gang-related murder, it costs the taxpayers $1.6 million. About $2 billion a year taxpayers are paying to fund crime.
Los Angeles Police Department has stepped up its role in fighting what officers label the war on gangs. Captain Philip Tingariti says that gang shootings have gone down 60% from 2002.
And, you know, one of the things that I really wanted to point out, because I've heard several times here that it's not working, nothing is working. And I have to say, that's not true. It is working. We have a long ways to go, but...
A stronger police presence may continue to reduce crime, but making arrests isn't the only way to handcuff the problem. Engaging the community and involvement from people like Fabian Montez can help address the core of the issue, the gang members themselves. Dominic Riley, Annenberg Radio News.
The city of Los Angeles has pledged $20 million toward gang intervention work this year. Most of the money goes into the parts of the city where gang violence is the worst. The city is looking for ways to be even more certain that the money goes to the right people. Matthew Richmond has a story about gang intervention workers and people trying to get into the field.
28-year-old Andres joined a gang called Kansas Street when he was 13.
Well, to get that respect, you gotta go out there, you know, you gotta go out there and shoot, man. You know, I remember shooting guys left and right, man, you know, going out there jumping guys, you know, stabbing guys, you know, killing dudes, you know, killing teenagers, killing 17, 18-year-old guys.
He's less than 2 years removed from escaping a double attempted murder charge.
I pray to God, I say, you know, God, if there's an opportunity for me to change, then help me out in this, you know what I'm saying? Whether I gotta stay here for the rest of my life or not, I just don't wanna live the way I live, the way I feel inside, the way my mind functions, the way I see people.
He lives in Bell now and was recently laid off from his job as a forklift driver. But that's okay with Andres. He wants to become a full-time gang intervention worker. A few months ago, he started an organization called Aiming for Peace.
You know, who better than to go and help these kids out, you know, that's been there, you know, that's experiencing what they're experiencing.
He goes to nearby schools and talks with kids. The pastor at his church gave him a room for nighttime meetings. He visits the young guys that are still active in Kansas Street. And he is a student at Akil Bashir's training school for intervention workers.
All right, notebooks in front. Notebook check, people. Gotta give me notebooks.
Bashir runs his school out of an old firehouse in South L.A. Right now, he's training his third class of gang intervention workers.
I probably don't have much longer on the face of this earth, and I don't expect to see this revolutionary change in this whole venue abated in my lifetime, but we got to put some systems and operational structures in place, and that's what...
Gang intervention work is a small slice of gang work. It is the conflict resolution part. Its goal is to calm people, usually gang members, when the chances of violence are highest. Intervention is best done by people close to the gangs they want to influence. That means they walk a fine line. And so City Council has developed a set of standards for the work. And in January, it will launch its own training academy.
We understand that gang work begins with developing a relationship with the family. We heavily emphasize no confrontation under any circumstances. Do not have any confrontation with gang members, do not have confrontation with police.
That's Ron Noblet. He consults for the Advancement Project, which was founded by the influential civil rights attorney Connie Rice. Rice's group is applying to run the city's academy and will probably get the contract. Akil Bashir thinks the city should create a more open system for training.
Set the criteria that any institute can either match or try to come up with in terms of educating their people.
Once the academy is up and running, any gang worker applying for funding from the city will have to go through its academy. There will be background checks by nonprofits, the city, and by the academy. So the organization that runs the academy will have a big say in who gets to do the work. For those, like Bashir, who work outside the city system, it may get harder to find funding.
One of the biggest problems we're having right now is finding them the proper employment.
And for Andres, who will graduate from Bashir's school in a few months, the future remains uncertain. It's unclear how he will make a living, and he hasn't spent much time trying to live a normal life. For Annenberg Radio News, this is Matthew Richmond.
This is my dad, Andres.
A record number of Asian Pacific Americans throughout the city cast their ballot in last year's general elections. 71%, or 412,000 Asian Americans, registered to vote in Los Angeles County. Leilani Albano reports.
Asian Americans are increasing in their numbers at the polls, and their political clout is growing here in Los Angeles County.
That was Dan Ichinose, director of the Demographic Research Project at the Asian Pacific American Legal Center. The finding is part of a newly released report by the APALC. It focused on LA County's 1.4 million Asian Americans. Not only did Asian Americans vote in larger numbers in 2008, but their numbers have steadily increased since 2000 when the study began. The report linked higher voter turnouts to better outreach methods. APALC spokesman Eugene Lee says this includes using more bilingual speakers to make calls.
Asian American voters are ripe for mobilization.
While improved outreach helped, the mood in the country also compelled more Asian Americans to vote. Dan Ichinose, director of the Demographic Research Project at the APALC.
9/11 affected Asian Americans significantly, that disproportionate numbers were the victim of hate crime. I mean, we talked a little bit about Asian American support for universal health care. Disproportionate numbers of our folks, including voters, are uninsured. It's one of the many reasons why Asian Americans come to the polls.
The report says that most Asian Americans in LA County are registered Democrats. However, there is also a large group of Asian Americans who are not politically affiliated. They, too, tend to vote Democrat during elections. With more Asian Americans going to the polls, Ichinose says it's about time that the major political parties start paying attention to the growing Asian American vote.
And so what we'd like to see is the greater outreach to Asian American communities, because they will respond. Campaigns just need to include them in the work that they do.
The Advancing Justice Conference will address issues in the Asian American and Pacific Islander communities. It will be held at the Center at Cathedral Plaza in downtown Los Angeles on October 29 and 30. Leilani Albano, Annenberg Radio News.
The mayor will announce the three finalists for police chief at a news conference at 5 o'clock. Most observers say the next chief will be someone from within the department. I had a chance to talk with Celeste Freeman, the creator and editor of WitnessLA.com. She says the next chief, whoever it may be, must take on the responsibility of inspiring the department.
So we had this CEO in chief. Now we kind of need an inspirer in chief. We need someone who can take the department the next step, who can be respectful of the communities that the LAPD polices, and make for better relationships, and at the same time respectful of the rank and file, so they feel considered and feel that they're treated fairly, and that if they're disciplined, which they need to be from time to time, that it will be done with a fair and even hand, and that the cop on the street isn't going to be the one taking the heat when somebody above him or her in command staff is not disciplined.
Now, the next chief won't have to deal with the federal consent decree, which called for wide-ranging reform within the department and was finally lifted this past July. How do you think that will affect the decision-making process for the next chief when it comes to issues of reform within the department?
I've talked with a bunch of them personally about this particular issue, that now that the consent decree has been lifted, I think they believe that the true reform in the department's culture can begin, but not because the feds are making the LAPD do it, but because the LAPD is trying to become its best and most honest and most respectful of civil rights that it can possibly be.
That was Celeste Freeman, creator and editor for WitnessLA.com. Now we check in with Megan McCarty to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. What's going on, Megan?
Hey, Pete. Good to be here as always. Well, tonight on Annenberg TV News, Michael Mania hits the silver screen. We'll have a live report from the big premiere at LA Live. But first, let's get an update from our Kate Cagle, who moonwalked on up Figueroa to LA Live and is with us on the phone. Kate?
Thanks, Megan. I'm standing here at ESPN Zone right across from Nokia Theater at LA Live, where hundreds of fans have already shown up for Michael Jackson's premiere, and more seem to just keep streaming in. Now, fans with wristbands get to actually stand at the red carpet, and they're waiting to see some of their favorite celebrities rolled up. But I got to talk to one radio ticket contest winner who's watching it from across the street, and he has tickets into Nokia later, and he says he's excited just to watch the movie with some of his favorite celebrities and even Michael Jackson's family. I spoke to another man who says he's a lifelong fan of Michael Jackson and that he really thinks he's going to remember this moment for the rest of his life.
Thanks,
Kate.
Thanks. Plus, extended coverage on swine flu in Los Angeles. All that and more on Annenberg TV News tonight at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision and online at atvn.org.
Thanks, Megan. That wraps it up for today. And for all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Pete Griffin.